Whoever has taken birth into this material world, they are subjected to the deluding potency of the Supreme Lord. Okay. How many of you have seen some pictures of optical illusions? Okay, let me show you a particular variety. Maybe you have already seen it. Because it's easy to, there's so many kinds. You have seen this one? Anybody has not seen this one? Okay. Do you see the lines to be straight or do you find those lines to be parallel to one another or not?
It depends how you look at it, right?
Sorry?
It depends how you're looking at it.
I'm asking from your vantage point. What do you see? Do you see them parallel? Anybody sees them parallel?
See them what?
Parallel to one another. Those lines, the horizontal lines here, are they appearing to be parallel?
Yes.
Parallel. Is the word parallel understandable?
Yes, they appear to be parallel. Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
They appear to be parallel to you?
Yes.
Okay. So, you have transcendental sense. Because it doesn't appear parallel to me. Whether I'm looking from that distance or even from this distance, it doesn't matter.
Because you have to see to both colors.
Yeah.
Huh? You have to see that. You have to look at both colors.
Yeah, yeah.
Only one to that one.
Yeah.
You
sure.
You have to white one also.
Yeah.
And that way you can see it.
So the thing is, you are talking from the platform of knowledge here, like because you have experienced this kind of illusion before, right? It's not that you are seeing this for the first time. So you have an understanding of how to look at this. Right? But the point is that if the senses are just left on their own, they would see things imperfectly. Now, human beings, they are known to have four defects. I'm sure everyone here, most of you here, will be familiar with this. Anybody not familiar with the four defects?
Are you saying politics?
Politics. Yeah, that is part of it. So, according to our scriptures, we have four defects. Brahma Pramada, Vipralipsa, and Karana Patava. Brahma means you have, or I have, or anyone who is subjected to delusion, this deluding potency of the Supreme Lord, they, from time to time, they do not have proper sense of what they are seeing. So Srila Jiva Goswami, he explains the Brahma has got two kinds of categories. One category is that we are perceiving something and we consider it to be fact, just like what I showed you. It may appear to be factual to consider them to be parallel to one another. But when we apply your knowledge and we look closely, they are not. But they appear to be factual. This is one kind of illusion. Another kind of illusion is when we are living in this material world, we have an inherent belief that we can enjoy. We can find permanent enjoyment in this place. And therefore, we keep on trying. We keep on trying in different varieties of ways. So this is the second form of illusion, where we think that just by trying enough, I would be able to convert this material world into a happy place. Does that make sense? These are two main categories of Brahma, of illusion, that we carry. I'll ask questions at the end, so please pay close attention. What is the second one? What is the second defect? Pramada. Pramada meaning making mistakes. Srila Jiva Goswami explains attributes, the fallible position of the living entity, or the tendency to make mistakes, as caused due to inattention. What is inattention? The senses may be... can you close the door also? Because I'm also becoming inattentive. So inattention means mind is disconnected from the senses. The senses are contacting the corresponding sense objects. But the mind is disconnected. For example, you are sitting in the class. You may not hear everything that I say necessarily for the next 45 minutes. Why? Because mind is sometimes going here and there, visiting different places. And actually, modern science, they attribute reasons to why that happens. It is said that our mind is capable of processing any input that is coming to us at a much higher rate than the inputs are delivered. In other words, we have a tendency to speak, let's say, at rate X. But our mind has the capacity for 4x, 4 times capacity.
Wow, that's amazing.
So then what happens, when we are receiving at a particular rate, you still have very fast mind going on. So other 3/4 of the mind have nothing else to do. So it can go in different directions. So the point is that, or at least the point that Jiva Goswami is making is that, the inattention is caused because of disconnection between the mind and the senses. The senses will be, the ears will be open. We are not putting earplugs here. So the things are going in, but the mind is disconnected. And that actually leads to error. That leads to mistakes. Okay? What is the third effect? Karna?
No.
What did you say?
Cheat,
no? Very good, yeah. That's what I'm getting at. So it's called vipralipsa. So what we have covered so far is Brahma and Pramada. The third one is vipralipsa. Vipralipsa meaning, as you say, cheating propensity. Why do we cheat? That's also very nice to explain. You see that the position of illusion is such that we consider this material place, this material world, to be a happy place. We are meant to enjoy, right? But then when we are sufficiently trying from our best effort, but we are not going to enjoy, then what happens? I try to manipulate. Normal course, I'm not able to get what I want. I'm not able to enjoy. So I get into manipulative state. And therefore, cheating propensity is just because of our inherent position in this material world, it is illusory mode. That makes sense? Let's give an example of cheating propensity. There were four friends who happened to be in the class or just came for exam but completely unprepared. Because in the previous night, they had a good time. They went for a movie. And they just thought what to do. They came up with an idea. And then they told the professor, very in a humble mood, that actually yesterday what happened was that we went to a place, and then what happened was that we went in a car and there was a tire puncture. And because of which, like, we got stranded and then had to take care of the situation on the weekend, which is hard to find. It's hard to find a mechanic on the weekends. So then, what happened was, we just didn't get any time because our whole energy was wasted in just taking care of that situation. So then the professor seemed to agree, so he said, okay, that's fine if you have not got any chance to study, no problem. why don't you come for exam tomorrow? So they were very happy. So next day, they all appeared happily. And then what happened was, the professor put a condition that all four of you have to appear for exam in four different rooms. And so they said, okay. And then when they opened their question paper, there was only one question. The question was, which tire punctured? So we have a strong tendency to enjoy, but when we are not able to enjoy, we manipulate. And therefore, we have to cheat, right? What can we do? From a normal position, we are not able to enjoy. So we have to. There's no other way. And sometimes it goes to the extreme position where even a disciple is taken to cheating tendencies before the spiritual master, like maybe even feigning to follow the instructions. But ultimately, they're living by their own sense gratificatory demands. And the fourth defect is the easiest one to explain. So hopefully, now it's clear why there are all these defects inherent in us. The fourth defect is karana patava, which is we all have imperfect senses. We all know every sense has its own range of operation. The eyes can only see within a particular range, cannot capture ultraviolet rays or x-rays or gamma rays, don't capture those. Similarly, our ears also have got audible range, can't go beyond it. Some animals do have different ranges. The point is that everyone has their own range. They cannot go beyond that range. But not only that, we have ranges for every senses, but even within that range, our perception is quite imperfect. For example, if I make the lights very dim, we would not be able to see much. And if I switch off the lights and if there is no daylight, then what happens? It's a dark place, you don't exist for me. It is said that the living entities, so Krishna Surya Shama, Maya Maya Andhakar, Jaha Krishna, Taha Nahi, Maya Adhikar, right? Krishna is just like sun. And we are like what? We are like sparks. We are like sparks. Or call it glowworms. What's the position of a glowworm in the presence of the sunlight? So, in the spiritual world, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopi Vallabha Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornikai Ki Jai, Shri Ganan Guratev Sivatra Maharani Ki Jai. So where is Krishna's son? There is no value for the glowworm-like light. So therefore, for us to shine, we need a dark place. And therefore, Krishna creates this material world so that we may seemingly shine with the intensity that we have got, the glowworm intensity. But the point is that we have imperfect senses, and those imperfect senses do not allow us access to reality within this material world in a reliable way. And even if they were to grasp something, they just pertain to the current time and space. When we are even observing something or we are perceiving something, it is valid only for the current time and space. We can't say anything about the past, we can't say anything about the future. We cannot say anything about the reality outside of this room, the material reality. Then, what is our qualification? When the standard of knowledge that we are talking about is beyond the range of our senses, it's completely transcendental. What is the scope for us to understand anything? And then on top of it, the mind is disconnected because of which we commit mistakes, we are inherently delusion, we carry cheating propensity, all of these decorations of four frailties that are there for the conditioned soul, that is increasingly inhibit for them to get any reliable knowledge whatsoever. So it is described there are 10 kinds of pramana, or ways of extracting knowledge. Pramana, prama means knowledge. Pramana means evidence, or the way, or the process for acquiring knowledge. There are 10 kinds. First kind is called Arsha. Arsha means there are opinions of varieties of sages that are keeping the knowledge extant for all of us, and they are stored in the form of either historical anecdotes or even Vedic revelation in terms of commentaries. So there are so many munis and rishis or sages or thinkers in the history of mankind. Mahabharata says that na asa rishi jasya mati na bhinna, that you cannot be qualified to be called a muni if you don't differ from another muni. So in other words, all the munis, they are not agreed with each other. So there are opinions that are there, but for us conditioned souls, it's still difficult. Then second kind of evidence, it is called upaman. Upaman means making comparisons. Like for example, Chandra Shakha Nyaya. It's a popular Nyaya. Where if you want to show a small kid, how does the moon look like? So you, because the moon is really far away, so you try to fathom something close by. So you show the child, can you see the two branches? The branch is close by, the child may be able to see better. And then, can you see the moon in between the two branches? Shakha. Chandra. Can you see the chandra in between the two shakha? Then the child can see. So when we are talking about something that is perceivable, and using that we try to explain something which is not perceivable easily. So that is called upaman. The third one is called arthapatti. Arthapatti, you can say extrapolation. It's dangerous. Extrapolation is, you can say, preposition, or something that is, the information is not in front of you, but in order to complete the picture, you somehow have to draw that assumption. For example, if you are encountering a person who is very fat, and that person, you have not seen that person eating during the daytime, so you conclude, that person must be eating during the night time. But you have not seen it. That's called arthapatti, or extrapolation. That doesn't have to be true. Could be just the physiological condition of that person, and even without eating, that person can become fat. Another form of acquiring knowledge is called sambhava. Sambhava means inclusion. When you have something bigger, when you know of something bigger, which constitutes the smaller parts, then you can say if the bigger thing exists, then the smaller one should exist. For example, if you have $1 million, then I can practically say that you would have $10, $50, 30 cents, 20 cents. May not be true. These days everyone has credit cards, so it's just numbers. So that's called sambhava. Then there is abhava. Abhava means absence of something. So when you are looking at a place, you are habituated to look at a place, you see, you are habituated to find a book on the table, but you are all of a sudden find that book is not there. Then you try to infer something based on that. So far we have covered 7. Then there are 3 more. No, we have covered 6.
Five?
Okay, yeah, 5. Then there is 6th one is Chesha. Chesha means sign. Different knowledgeable persons, they may use certain sign languages to communicate, like the mudras of the deities or something. Of course, it is dependent on the recipient, how much they are able to get from their sign language. And then the seventh one, Srila Prabhupada likes to pronounce as Oitincho, or you can call it Oitika. Oitincho is basically traditions, or the knowledge that is not really captured by any necessarily an authorized person, but it just developed as a part of the cultural setting or the historical setting of that place. Like if you visit, for example, Vrindavan, there will be stories circulated about particular deities, but they are not documented in any scriptures. But everyone just talks about them, because it is preserved through tradition. So that's what we did show. So after talking about these seven, let's talk about three. So they are called, so because these seven are actually subsets of these three, which are Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda. Pratyaksha means direct perception. So it's just like we talk about abhav, absence of something. This is presence of something. Presence meaning that you are connecting your senses with the sense object. The senses, Krishna says, manashashtanindriyani, prakritisthani varshali. There are six senses, 5 plus 1, 6. So 5 knowledge gathering senses plus 6. So therefore, even in direct perception, there are two varieties. There is internal perception and external perception. The external perception is based on the senses, the gross senses contacting the corresponding sense objects. But then mind is also processing and coming up with feelings that I like it, I hate it, this is love, this is hate, or whatever. That's called internal perception. But these are all direct varieties of direct perceptions. And then there is Anuman, where you are drawing inferences based on. So actual definition of inference is very nice. The definition of inference is really, or definition of Anuman is inference based on generalized experiences. You might have experienced something, the problem is that you not only experience something, but you also generalize that. And based on that you try to understand a related phenomenon. And that is what is called inference. And in inference also, there is a very systematic process how you go through. We don't have time for that. Let's not go through that. So for the sake of time, I'm not going through that. And I'm also not going through the analysis of how the other seven, that's your homework. How the other seven, they are subsets of these three. The third one, or the last one, is the most important one. Because so far, what we have seen is that pratyaksha, as you can see, is dependent on the ability of the senses to perceive. Okay? And then, anuman is a stretch from there. And when you make a stretch, you either extrapolate or interpolate, there is always a problem. So whether you are applying pratyaksha or anuman, you can always question the reliability of the knowledge that you're gathering based on these methods. And as I said, that already the understanding of things of this material world itself is so difficult for our fallen material senses to perceive. Then what to speak of the transcendental reality? And what to speak of talking about beyond space, beyond time? And that's what is the gamut of the Vedic scriptures. The Vedic knowledge, they deal with knowledge, reliable, valid knowledge that is beyond the current framework of time and space. So what is the other option that can remain? Any guesses? Because what we have established is that we are doomed to failure no matter what you do. We can apply all of these different processes, but we are doomed to failure to get any information. What can you do? So all of these information, they are generally called Paurushya. Or that knowledge which is basically fallible. Because ultimately our senses are fallible. Therefore you need to some or other find a source that is infallible. Or Aparushya. Who is the Aparushya person? Any guess? Anybody? Krishna, right? So knowledge, in order for the knowledge to be valid, it must originate in Krishna. And then, How do we receive that knowledge then? There has to be some carriers of that knowledge. So we need a Purusha source, and we also need an authorized carrier of that knowledge. So Shabda is defined as revealed sound which is presented to us by an apta purusha, or an authorized person. And authority of the person is based on that person's fidelity or connection with a bona fide disciplic succession. Why is it called apta purusha? Apta is a verse, sutta apta vitte. What does apta mean? Related, right? So one has to be related to Krishna. This disciplic succession is basically presenting a whole chain of personalities who are related to Krishna. By what? By their complete loyalty to their immediate spiritual master. And what is that loyalty? That they are going to only present and represent. Only present whatever they are hearing from their objective and nothing else. They are not going to dilute the message. They are not going to hamper the message. They are going to preserve the message with their full integrity and their immaculate position in devotional service. And that's what makes someone a qualified representative of knowledge. Is that clear? Okay. Therefore, it's important for us to understand that in order for us to get any knowledge, first of all, the source must be Apurusha. And the Apurusha source, the knowledge coming down from the Apurusha source, is captured by bona fide disciplic succession. So why are we coming to this temple? Because this temple is a gift of Srila Prabhupada, who is a representative of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brahma is receiving knowledge from Krishna, and the knowledge flowing down. Somewhere in the disciplic succession there was Madhvacharya, and then somewhere down there was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. How many of you have the experience when you have a question, you just make a Google search? Please raise your hand. Oh, I'm surprised. Only this much? Well, Google is more popular than that. Okay, now let me ask another question. How many of you, when you have spiritual inquiry, you do a Google search? Okay. So, what we are learning today is not, that's not the best form of acquiring knowledge. Because if it is Google or Google Acharya, that's okay. So many persons presenting in that forum, and without any connection with a bona fide disciplic succession. So that knowledge that is coming down, it may resonate with us because of our attachments very well, but that need not be bona fide. So it is a very dangerous place actually, if you just are looking for information like that. So one safe thing to do, especially for those who has valued coming to this temple and has valued what Srila Prabhupada has given us, at least we should understand that it is in our best interest if we are somehow or other connecting through Srila Prabhupada or through Srila Prabhupada's qualified representatives. If you care about this branding of knowledge, because as I said, there are other, the knowledge has to be bona fide based on the carriers of the knowledge. And there are other bona fide disciplic successions, not too many, just three other. So there is Brahma Sampradaya, there is Kumar Sampradaya, there is Rudra Sampradaya, and there is Sri Sampradaya. I'm not going into that today. But the point is that outside of this, knowledge is questionable. That's all I'm trying to present here. But having developed some affinity for Srila Prabhupada and his literature, it is in our best interest to always try to seek knowledge through Srila Prabhupada. Which means next time we go to Google, we may like to just look for, let's say, Srila Prabhupada lectures or something. That's fine. In fact, it is very much welcome to make it a regular practice of hearing from Srila Prabhupada, so that we can better connect with that person. So I want to give a formula again of how to receive, the topic is how to receive the knowledge. Now, in order for, even if so here, we just read in this particular verse, this supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession or parampara, and the same thing is understood in that way. So there is a qualification that is needed from our side also. There is qualification on that side that they are preserving the knowledge by the fidelity, by their fidelity to the disciplic succession. But from our side also, we need also some qualification. The qualification is that we need to have some inclination to develop a relationship with a person that is communicating the knowledge to us. Or in other words, the knowledge will get transferred from heart to the extent we have developed a loving relationship with the person from whom we are receiving the knowledge. The knowledge is best received when there is relationship. So when we are hearing from Srila Prabhupada, we are hearing with a desire to get connected with him, to be related to him, so that we can receive it with a loving and open heart. Because heart, if it is closed, we may be hearing, but nothing will go in. It says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyam Vaishruya Mananam, Krishna Parama Purushe, Bhakti Rutpatyate Punsam, Shoka Muma Bhaya Apaha. That this hearing process is so powerful that it can actually eradicate from our life this delusion that we are talking about today. Shoka moha, the same moha, the word appears. Shoka is lamentation, moha means illusion. And bhaya, or fear. Bhaya is also a byproduct of illusion. So, shoka moha bhaya, who wants to get rid of? Any hands here? Not everyone, okay? You want to live with shoka moha and bhaya. Brave souls. Okay. The point is that the hearing process is supremely powerful. Supremely powerful. That it imperceptibly it removes shoka, lamentation, or unhappiness, moha, or illusion. What happens when the illusion is removed? Aren't we moving towards that upavushya position? Isn't it wonderful? So it's such a gift that the disciplic succession is ready to present to us. So in this forum, I wanted to give a formula of how to hear properly. It's not just a matter of just putting the recording on and we hear while you do something or something. But it's important to be in the receiving mode. Or even when we are reading Srila Prabhupada's books, because that's also a kind of hearing, because they are stored in print. Even when we are talking about Apta Purusha, how is Apta Purusha revealing the knowledge? Either by their writings or by their speakings. So we need to somehow or other develop love for the carrier of the message. And we have to pay attention therefore. The formula is called Rasa. R-A-S-A. R for you receive, but receive with proper mood. The mood is that here is someone who is very, very mercifully willing to change my eons of material conceptions. Because when we are hearing, what we are doing is that we are allowing the material conceptions of life that we have accumulated through lifetimes to be overridden by the spiritual conceptions. But that overriding of the material conceptions is going to happen, it's completely dependent on the mood with which you are approaching it. So when you are in the receiving mood, that yes, I'm so fortunate that here is a person who is not having any blood relationship with me, but really wanting to give me this freedom from shoka, moha and bhaya. How merciful. So to have that soft heart or feelings of gratitude that I want to receive what this person has to say. And then A stands for appreciation. So you receive with a strong appreciation for what you are hearing. Because you cannot actually even go to the next step of application if you do not have appreciation for the message. And after you hear, it's important if you are able to summarize the whole thing, what you have heard. Because usually, sometimes, we tend to just hear points because we may get some opportunity to speak, right? So, when we have opportunities to speak, we may also get into this mode of impressing others. And where, like, we may like to just take down copious notes just so that, like, we can present those points. So, we may hear things incoherently. So, it's important to hear the whole message rather than just hearing the points. That's what I mean. And therefore, the third principle is being able to summarize what one is hearing. And it can be an internal summarization. And then, the last thing is to ask them. Because if we are really willing to override our misconceptions, then naturally, our misconceptions would be challenged. And there would be questions pertaining to our application. Because hearing is, after all, meant for application. So that is called active hearing. So you can hear passively or actively. Passive hearing meaning you're just hearing. You're just going on. Entering one ear, probably, there are examples of dolls. Like, I won't tell the story today, but some other time. The point is that the best form of hearing is that if the knowledge enters here and it goes straight to the heart. And therefore, it is important for us to get this very simple message that whether we can get anything spiritual or transcendental or anything reliable is dependent on us. How we are preparing our own heart to receive the knowledge. And it is dependent on to whom we are making the connection for receiving the knowledge. Krishna says that ye me matam idam nityam anush tishtanti manava shadavanto anusuyanto te api muchyante karma bhi. Krishna says that you need to have two qualifications in order to hear and apply the message that I am presenting. Shadavanto and anusuyanto. Shadavanto means you have to hear with faith. Faith means faith in three things. Faith in the knowledge itself that is coming down. Faith in the carrier of the knowledge. And faith in the object of the knowledge of Krishna himself. And obviously, asuyanto means without envy. So again, like if we are carrying a sense of love towards the person, then there is no room for envy. Otherwise, we will actually try to become a competitor of that person. Trying to think, okay, how can I even present better than that person? Those kind of tendencies would come. Or Srila Prabhupada is expressing this, so maybe like he should have expressed it that way. You will start actually question like how that person is presenting and try to become like a strong critic. This is not proper mood. The faith is that this person wishes, this person is filled with well-wishing feelings for me. He is giving Krishna's mercy to me. And how fortunate I am that even if I may not have any qualification whatsoever, even if I didn't even desire to receive this knowledge, it's still coming anyways. And so one needs to have these two aspects. One has to deal with faith and free from envy. I thought of doing the exercise of hearing a small portion of Srila Prabhupada, but I think the time would not allow us. But I would rather actually open the forum for questions. But one thing I hope that you take it from this whole session is that whenever you have some spiritual inquiry, typing in Google for an answer is the worst possible way. It's the worst possible, not even like a physical way, it's the worst way. Sorry, you have a question?
Yeah, but it can bring you to the right website though. It could bring us to ISKCON website.
Yes, but the thing is that what I'm trying to say, yes, you're right. I'm talking about, in your case it's different because you know like what is the right website and what is not. I'm talking about in general, when one is just typing in Google, there will be probably 5 offensive websites popping up and probably 3 valid ones. And then one could be very quickly bewildered.
Well, let's talk about this, and let's talk about personality.
Right, you're talking about like other unauthorized sources. Like they can talk about anything for that matter. There's so many colors. Colorful variety. Just one thing I wanted to say. Therefore, what I'm trying to say is that it is important. Mataji, I wanted to say a concluding statement for you. That it is important, therefore, take guidance. Because even within ISKCON websites, we can get bewildered. I also want to question, challenge that. So it is important to remain guided. Okay, please.
Thank you, Prabhu, for that wonderful class. The question is like, you were speaking about Shabda, the process of hearing. So like the knowledge is perfect and the carrier is perfect. But as a listener, again, the hearing ability is like we could say that's like imperfect senses. So how could we still understand that Shabda is the right approach? Because the giver is giving right, but again the receiver is having problem.
Excellent question. So that's why we also have hearing and chanting. So hearing is only one part of the devotional process. Another important process is the chanting. So our devotional life runs on 2 parallel tracks. The hearing is meant to give us the right conception, and as Amarnath Prabhu rightly pointed out, that we might be carrying many filters, and therefore we may not get the message. Cheto darpamar. Marjana. So we need to actually cleanse the mirror of the heart through the process of chanting so that we can hear better. Mm-hmm. So these two actually bolster each other. So as we chant more, our heart becomes more purified, and therefore we are more, we develop more spiritual acumen to receive the knowledge. So the more we are actually applying the process, because of the mercy, as you said, because of the mercy of the perfect carrier, and the combination of our progressively purified heart, we will be able to hear better. So therefore, the same lecture, for example, when we hear, let's say 5 years down the line, it will send different messages to us. Because by that time our heart has... Simple answer. But thank you. Thank you all very much. Shila Prabhupada.